In Uruguay, divers have raised part of the wreck of the German warship Graf Spee. It was scuttled off the South American coast following the famous Battle of the River Plate in 1939. The salvage effort is slow and underfunded, but it's front page news in economically depressed Uruguay, where growing numbers of people are trying to make a living from the country's history. NPR's Martin Costi reports from Montevideo.
In the early days of World War II, the little South American country of Uruguay seemed to be about as far away from the fighting as one could get. That is, until the morning of December 14, 1939. Hildegard Idick de Jan was a young German immigrant living in Montevideo. She still remembers that day.
Man wachte auf hier in Montevideo und lag ein Kriegsschiff im Hafen.
You wake up here in Montevideo and there's a warship in the harbor. There was general amazement, and everyone wondered what had happened.
What had happened was that the German ship, Graf Spee, had been damaged in a battle out in the South Atlantic, and was now seeking refuge in Uruguay's neutral port. The captain hoped to buy enough time for repairs, but under diplomatic pressure, the Uruguayan government forced the Graf Spee to leave and face the British warships waiting out in international waters. Jan says thousands of Uruguayans came down to the waterfront to see it off, and to watch the ensuing battle. Instead, they saw the Graf Spee simply explode.
Houses shuddered and window panes shattered. People were very upset.
Jan says the onlookers mourned the 1,000 German sailors assumed to be on board. Only later did they find out that the maneuver had been a trick. Most of the sailors had been transferred to other boats and had sailed off to neighboring Argentina. And then the captain and a handful of men had wired up the battleship with explosives and sank it on purpose to keep its advanced naval technology out of British hands. For 6 decades, the Graf Spee has been sinking slowly into the muddy bottom of the River Plate. But in late February, divers brought up a 27-ton section of the ship's command tower. About the size of a truck, the piece is on display now on a strip of lawn in front of the port. Climbing up and down its rusted ladder is Aldo Braida, one of the divers who raised it, braving the river's murky waters and treacherous currents. It may be that I'm not of the same generation that saw it sink, but I grew up close to it and its history, and this salvage project is the fulfillment of a lifelong dream, Braida says. Other Uruguayans have been more skeptical. Some have dismissed the command tower as little more than rusty scrap metal. But don't say that to Alfredo Echegaray, the organizer of the salvage project. He's a professional publicist and bon vivant who lives and works in a sumptuous townhouse filled with family heirlooms.
You have Austrian candelabras, you have tapestry from 16th, 17th, 18th century, a piano where you had artists from all over the world been playing here, not only the famous Uruguayan tango singers like Carlos Gardel, but also actual artists like Sting that stayed in our house until 3 a.m. and he learned how to dance tango with my mother.
Echegaray sees the sunken German battleship as a treasure trove of PR.
Why is this valuable? Because you, the press of the world, are very interested. And why are you, the press of the world, very interested? Because the people of the world are very interested. This means a lot of work for Uruguayans through tourism and through communication of Uruguayan products.
Echegaray admits that he doesn't yet have the money to pay for the giant crane and the other equipment needed to raise the bulk of the Graf Spee, but like any good entrepreneur, he exudes confidence that the publicity generated by the smaller chunks will attract investors. And what does he propose to do with the ship? He says maybe a museum here in Uruguay, or maybe he'll sell it abroad. He says he's open to suggestions. Shaky as Echegaray's business plan seems to be, he's in good company. The stormy waters of the River Plate are full of shipwrecks, perhaps as many as 2,000, and more private entrepreneurs are applying to the government for salvage rights. A few wrecks have been very lucrative, such as the 18th century Portuguese ship Nossa Senhora da Luz. One of the divers points out the flagpoles that mark the ship's bow and stern, sunk beneath the sand just 40 feet off a popular beach in Montevideo. This wreck alone has already yielded millions of dollars in gold, and they're still digging. Pushing his vintage bicycle along the waterfront, a young man named Nelson Diaz says he sees a parallel between this rush to raise sunken treasure and his own meager livelihood as a part-time antiques dealer.
The thing is, there's very little employment around here. So what people are doing is collecting the things they have around the house, the things that used to belong to their grandfathers and uncles to sell off. It's a little bit sad.
Diaz carries antique photos with him of the Graf Spee to sell to Argentine tourists. He's a regular at the open-air antique market that sprawls across the downtown every weekend. It amounts to a massive garage sale for a tiny country whose best days seem to be behind it and which are now for sale. Much of Montevideo seems stuck somewhere in the 1940s. Sitting in an old-fashioned coffee shop, Argentine historian Diego Lascano watches children walking by in white artist smocks and floppy blue ties, the local public school uniform.
Every summer, when I was a kid, I came to Uruguay for the vacations. And for me at that time, it was to be in an old movie, because old cars, old buses, old buildings, and people dress old-fashioned. So for me, it was a very nice place, like to be in a time machine.
As Uruguay's agriculture-based economy struggles to compete in an increasingly cutthroat global marketplace, some people here are worried that the past has become the new export commodity. This is a special concern for the handful of surviving Graf Spee crewmen who settled in Argentina and Uruguay after the war. They oppose all salvage efforts, and they have a pact not to talk to reporters in order to starve the project of publicity. Hildegard Idig de Jan, the German immigrant who saw the ship arrive, is also the widow of one of the sailors who settled here.
It affects us deeply, those of us who grew up with this thing. We watch, with sad eyes, the way they want to bring the ship up piece by piece. They want to make money off of it. It's just a financial thing.
Jan says she believes the Graf Spee probably is very valuable, judging by the high prices earned by the shipboard mementos that were brought ashore by the sailors. Jan's husband used to have several of the more coveted insignia, but they're long gone, she says, happily. He gave them away to friends long before the temptation ever arose to sell them. Martin Costi, NPR News.